now on text 13. Krishna has already described the process of knowledge, the means by which one can rise above and transcend the limitation of the 24 elements which make up the kshatra. And now he's describing what happens when one does that. What knowledge does he acquire when he rises above these? What is the purpose or the object of knowledge? And in this section, from 13 to 19, he describes the gayam, object of knowledge. And this was the sixth question that Arjuna asked. So let us chant together.
Gayam yat tad bravakshami yat jyarvamritam ashnuti anade mat param brahma na satan asaruchate.
I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. So this is the nature of the spirit soul. Is completely aloof from all of these material elements. It's completely separate. It's spirit and eternal, whereas matter is temporary and dull and jud. And this is chit, spiritual energy. Particularly talking about the tashta shakti, the individual spirit soul, by the words mat param brahma, which means that spirit which is subordinate to me. So therefore this verse is describing the jiva, jivatma, the individual living entity. And one who understands the soul, the object of knowledge, gyayam, Krishna begins this whole section with the word which he's describing, as he does in the other sections. Also in the next section he does the same, he begins prakriti purusha. And here he says, Gayam yatan pravakshami. I now explain this. I shall now explain this to you. What is gayam? And yajgyat ba. Having no, once you know this, after you know this, amritam ashnute, then you enjoy nectar. You'll be in bliss. You'll rise above the material limitations and attain your true nature as spirit soul. Asangoyam purusha iti. Living entity is asangoyam. He is not detached, he is not attached or limited by these material things. He's actually above all of it. He has nothing to do with this material world. It's simply a temporary stage, just like an actor playing a part on the stage. But because we want to enjoy, we misidentify with the role, with the character. And then everyone's playing roles. And then when the curtain closes at the time of death, then again it opens, and then you have a new role with a new script. And then again you try to enjoy the false drama of this sukha dukkha, happiness and distress. Happiness and distress. You look in the theaters, you know, in the theater district of the big cities in Europe and so on, you see one, they have these two gargoyles, one with a happy face and the other one. Because this is material life. Actually, everything is encompassed by these two faces. The whole gamut of material existence is found within these two. Ichadvesha sumukena dvandva bohena bharata. These two kinds of illusion. Icha, I want, this will make me happy. And dvesha, I hate this. Oh, it's bad. Right? This is the fundamental twofold psyche of the material conditioned soul. But when one rises above this, he joins real bliss. And so you become immortal, amrita. Just like Krishna says, janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvata chakra deham puna janma nayati. You won't take birth again. You'll attain immortality or liberation. How? Tatvata, understanding Krishna in truth. So once yajgyatva, when you know the knowable, when you know gayam, when you understand the soul in truth, actually, factually, realizations, then amritam ashnate, then you'll be happy, you'll enjoy bliss. Because this is the purpose of life is to develop this knowledge about the soul and the soul's relationship with the Supreme Soul. You boys stop talking in the back, please. Hare Krishna. So the purpose of life is to Vishvakshena Katasuya Natparhedidiratim Shrameve Kevalam. Everything else is useless. Dharma Sanustitatum Sam. Vishvakshena kata suya. So Krishna kata. That's the real purpose of all dharma, of all life. Otherwise, shrameve kevalam, it's all useless. So Krishna says, one should understand, this is the goal of life, and this is the goal of knowledge. Nadi, so what is that, what the description of the goal of that, of the soul is anadi. It has, it's beginningless. And matparam brahma, it is spirit which is subordinate to me. This is how we understand it's talking about the jiva. And nasatan nasat, which it lies beyond these 24 elements, cause and effect. Hetu madhir vinishchite. It's above that. So Prabhupada explains. The Lord has explained the field of activities, kshetra, and the knower of the field, kshetragya. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field, jnana. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul and then the supersoul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and supersoul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is confirmed here also, anadi, no beginning. And Prabhupada mentions in the last sentence, therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. This, the Gyayam has two categories, soul and supersoul. Now, the supersoul will be described for the entire rest of the section. Doesn't it? Matparam Brahma. Well, I guess an impersonalist would read that. And certainly the Brahmajyoti is Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. It is subordinate to Krishna also. And we know those rays of Krishna's body also include many jivatmas floating there. So they're also, that's also subordinate to Krishna. But Krishna is describing the jivatma here according to Prabhupada and the other acharyas. They're describing what this param brahma means. Because Brahma Jyoti, Prabhupada said, is already a fallen condition. The living entity is not in a full liberated condition there, floating in the Brahma Jyoti. He's limited to the sat feature. He cannot experience ananda. So you hear your gyatva amritam ashnate. So real amrita, real ananda. Ashnate means to enjoy. So to enjoy, that must be ananda. So there's no ananda in Brahmajyoti. So there must be some pleasure. But it's just sat. I'm eternal. I'm floating here. I'm free. This is my commentary. Because there's no taste in Brahmajyoti. It says ashnate means to taste. There's no rasa there because there's no relationships. Therefore, Prabhupada says they fall down because they get lonely. Right? So he says though, so, and when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it's to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahma as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when the Vijnana Brahma connects with Ananda Brahma, he also gets Ananda. Excuse me for taking the poetic license to explain. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with philosophical analysis or philosophical speculation. Mental speculation we reject. But philosophical speculation we accept, as long as it's according to Shastra and Guru and Sadhu. and we can analyze it in different ways. Prabhupada says this in chapter 14 in the first verse. We'll discuss this in detail in chapter 14. If you have some question about, if you feel some doubt about this statement, then I will clarify it next week in full detail. Alright, text 14.
Sarvata pariparam tat sarvatokshi shirumukham sarvata shuti malloke sarvam avrityaptishtati.
Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, hands, and faces, and he has his ears everywhere. In this way, the Super Soul exists, pervading everything. So, if one didn't have a guru to give commentary, one might think, yes, my heads and arms and eyes are spread everywhere. I am all pervasive. I am the supreme Brahman. This way I have understood everything. I have created the mountains. I can move the mountains. But I have no desire to do so, so let them stay there. This is the impersonal rascal. They say like this. So, this verse also, you see the word sarva four times. So, sarvata pani padam tat. He has his hands and legs everywhere, his eyes and his heads and faces and ears everywhere. So here, this is proof that the Supreme Lord has, the Supreme Absolute Truth has personality. Otherwise, how is it they have so many heads and legs and hands and eyes and ears? The Supreme Absolute Truth has personality. This is some proof given here in this verse. And Prabhupada commented in a lecture in Bombay, 1973, he said that knowledge means to realize that these hands, legs, eyes, they all belong to Krishna. Bhakti means to become liberated from the misunderstanding that this is my hand, this is my leg, these are my eyes. No, it's Krishna's. When we become purified, we understand this. Sarvapani vinir muktam tat parachana nirmalam rishikena rishikesa shevanam bhakti uchate. So we become free from this misconception. Actually, these are Krishna's energies. We can bring another chair. Just come. There's chairs in the hallway, Prabhu. You can grab one. Yeah, okay. So, Arjuna was also an illusion. He thought that this hand, this head, belongs to me and my family members. So how can I kill my family members with this own hand? And this head, how can I use this? Bhishma used to bless me with his hand on my head when I was a little boy, my grandfather. How can I use my head to kill him? But this was Arjuna's illusion. So when Krishna enlightened him, then he said, Nashta moha smriti labha tat prasada mayaj. Karishye vachanam tava. So my illusion is gone, now I will execute your order. I surrender to you. And now I realize that this hand, these fingers to shoot the bow, these belong to you. Nimitta matram bhavya savasacham. I am just your instrument. Now I will act according to your will, not by my own false ego. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to understand this. That is the sarvata paniparam tat. These Krishna's hands, Krishna's eyes are the ones that are looking back and forth when you're in a crowd of people. Remember that. Why? He's the super soul. He's in the heart. He's the one who's given the eyes. He's given the sun so the eyes can see. And he's given the energy ability, connecting the soul with the senses of the eyes so they can also see. And he created the demigods to control the whole mechanism. So it's Krishna's eyes which are, and Krishna's ears which are hearing everything. And we are just going along for the ride in the heart. Alright, next verse. These verses are very similar to the classic Upanishadic verses. that we find in the, all the different Upanishads. We can give to him. Wholeness. Of course, they're very. Did everyone sign their check themselves present? You have to pass it around a little bit more. These verses are kind of ambiguous, and seem to be contradictory. Just like in the Ishopanishad, tad ejiti, tad nayajiti, tad dure, tad vantike, tarantarasa sarvasa, tarasarvasa simhayataha. So he's near and far, he walks and does not walk. All of these.
Sarvindriya gunabhasam, sarvindriya vivajitam, asoktam savabrittayeva, nirgunam gunabhuktrisham.
The super soul is the original source of all senses. And yet, he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. So he is a very difficult person to understand. Gyayam, mystical object of knowledge. So sarvendriya gunabhasham. He's the source of all the senses. But sarvendriya vivarjitam, he's without senses. So some think that God has no form because of these words, sarvendriya vivarjitam. He's without senses. Then the impersonalists use this as an argument. Just see, he's without senses. I told you, this is here in the Gita. But the thing before says, sarvendriya gunabhasham. He's the source of the senses, but he himself has no sense. So then they say, yes, he is the ultimate, subtle, homogeneous, source, the subtle, impalpable, iniquitous form, substance of Brahman. It has no form. It is just the source of the senses, but it has no sense. But in the previous verse, it says he has senses. Yes. So, it means he has no material senses. That's what it means. Asaptam. And he's detached. Even though Savabrit, he's the maintainer of everything. Because usually when you maintain something, you become attached to it. Like a temple president maintains his temple. Or a man maintains his car. He becomes attached to it. A man maintains his family, becomes attached to the family, the house, the children, the car, everything. So when you maintain something, you always become attached. But Krishna maintains, but he's not attached. That's why it's hard to understand him. Nirgunam gunabhoktarcha. And he is the master of all of the gunas or qualities or modes of nature. But he is nirgun. He's above the modes.
Bahirantas chabhutanam acharam charamevacha sukshmatvat tad avigyayam durastam chantikechata.
The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. So he's bahir and antascha. For all living entities, inside and outside. As we said, tadejati, tadajati, tadure, tadvantike. Tad antarasya sarvasya, taru sarvasasya, bhayata.
Inside and outside, walks and does not walk. Far away, dure, chavantike. And very near, very close.
It's very similar to the Upanishads here. So one interesting point here is, here the gyayam is described as avigyayam. You look this word, that the knowable is unknowable. Gyayam is avigyayam. So what is it? Krishna's playing games with us? No, it means that the knowable is unknowable to those with materially contaminated senses.
only through when the senses are purified through bhakti, then one can understand. Sevan muke jivado swayam eva spratida. And so, anyway, Prabhupada, he also in a lecture in 1973 in Bombay, he said, you have to do tapasya in order to see Krishna inside and outside. Then he said, ararito yadi haris tapasa tata kim, nararito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. Ararito yadi hari, if you're worshipping the Lord, then tapasa tata kim, what is the use of performing austerity? And nararito yadi hari tapasata. Now, if you by your austerities you're not worshipping the Lord, then what is the use of performing his austerity? Antar bahir yadi hari tapasata takim. If you have understood the Lord is inside and outside, then what is the purpose of performing any more austerity? That is the goal of the austerity. And nantar bahir yadi hari tapasata takim. And if you have not understood that the Lord is within and without, then all of your tapasya is useless. So, you have to perform nam yagya, right, the austerity of chanting the holy name, and seva, sevan muke jivado, in order to see this Lord within and without. If you see the Lord within and without, then the purpose of all of your austerities is finished. Then you come to the perfect stage. But it cannot be understood just through any ordinary conventional religious practice. Vedeshu dulabam, adulabam atmabhakta. Only through devotion. Even by studying the Vedas, you cannot understand the Lord within and without. That's the point. Text 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam eva cha sthitam bhuta bhatri cha tajyeyam kasishnu bhava vishnu cha. Although the super soul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. So, Prabhupada says, the Lord is in everyone's heart as the super soul. That doesn't mean he's divided? No. He's one. Just like he's like the sun at the meridian. This is a classic example which is usually used in examinations. The sun at the meridian is situated in its place. But if one goes 5,000 miles in all directions and says, where is the sun? Everyone will say that it's shining on his head. But it's... Right? So also the moon in the evening is reflected in many pots. And it appears that the moon is within all hundreds of pots. But the moon is one and it's reflected within each pot equally. So the Lord, the Super Soul, is one. And he's manifested, expanded himself in everyone's heart. But it's the same Lord, the same Super Soul. So that there's a different... Jyotisham abhitan jyotis tamasa param uchate jnanam geyam jnanagamyam vidhi sarvasya vishtitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So he is the source of light. Jyotisham abhitan jyotis. All light in this world comes from the electrical powerhouse. And as soon as the connection is cut, so these are just like the moon, these are reflected light from the sun. So all of the light in this world comes from the sun. And it's manifested through, actually, that light is actually coming from the sun, and the sunlight comes from the Brahma Jyoti. So all of the light actually comes from Brahma Jyoti. And we know that this Param Jyoti originally is Krishna's light of his transcendental body. So all of the light in the universe comes from Krishna. Therefore it is said, Jyotisham Abhitad Jyotis. He is the source of all luminous objects. And his Shakti Tattva, Srimati Radharani, is manifesting that energy from Krishna in the form of light. And that light, as Brahma Jyoti, is manifested in this universe. Prabhupada says that actually the light of Brahma Jyoti is blue, and it is reflected indirectly through the seven layers of the universe. And because Krishna's body is blue, the Brahma Jyoti is blue, and the sky is blue. But somehow that light is reflected through the seven layers of the universe. And when we chant Gayatri Mantra, we understand this, that the Lord is Varanya Bhargo. We meditate on Him as Varanya Bhargo Dhimahi. He is the Devasya, Varanya Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. That Bhargo, that effulgence, is from the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's His effulgence. And it is worshipable, Varanyam. So Krishna is the ultimate source of light. And He can take it away whenever He likes. Leave you in darkness. Therefore the Vedas say, Tamasa Ma Jyotir Gama. Give up the light, or give up the darkness, come to the light. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. So Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. Whenever Krishna is there, then the darkness is gone. And here it says that He's Jnanam Gyayam Jnana Gamyam. He's knowledge, He's the object of knowledge, and He is known by knowledge. So the commentators say that He's called Jnana when He's manifested in the mind. And He's called Gyayam when He's manifested outside, as an object that can be seen by the living entity. But He's called Jnanam when He's manifested in the chitta vritti of the jiva, the mind, in the consciousness of the living entity. And that when He takes a form outside, then He's called Jnanam. So Jnanagamyam means that He's known by knowledge. So when one performs bhakti, he automatically attains knowledge. Janayati yashu vairagyam jnanam cha. Very quickly for performing Vasudeva bhakti. So we have the example of the South Indian Brahmin, who, this Brahmana was illiterate, but still Lord Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced him, because he said, "You are the true knower of the Bhagavad Gita." Because he was full of bhakti, performing devotional activity on the order of his spiritual master, even though he was unable to perform it, he was still attempting to do so out of loyalty and devotion. So then he was enlightened by the Lord within to understand the Lord's quality of humility in becoming Parthasarathi, the driver of the Arjuna's chariot. Therefore, he can give knowledge to the devotee, and he is the object of knowledge. Okay, and the last verse, and then we'll stop for questions. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jnayam shuktam samasadah madbhakta edare jnaya madbhava upapadyate. Thus the field of activities, the body, kshetra, knowledge, jnanam, and jnayam, knowable, have been summarily described by me, Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. So Prabhupada says that only pure devotees can clearly and fully understand this. Although the Jnana-Mishra Bhaktas, they can understand something, but they can't get the full gist of the absolute truth of the object of knowledge. Only the pure devotees can understand fully Krishna. Because when Bhagavan is understood, then all of the other forms of the Lord can be understood. Paramatma and Brahman. In this verse, or in this commentary, Prabhupada reveals the sections that we have divided the chapter in, if you look in the last two paragraphs. Now to summarize, one might understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning with Mahabhutani and continuing through Chaitanya Dhriti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. This is Kshatra and the Vikaras and the Yadrik, the constitution and the transformations of the Kshatra. Right? And he says, these combine to form the body or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12, from Amanidvam, Adambidvam, through Tattva Vigyanartam Darshanam. Tattva Vigyanartam Darshanam. Describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of knower, Gaya, of the field of activity, of Kshatragya, namely the soul and super soul. Then verses 13 to 18, beginning from Anadi Matparam and continuing through Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtitam, describe the soul and the super soul, or the Supreme Lord. Thus, three items have been described: Kshatra, field of activity, the body; the process of understanding, jnana; and both the soul and the super soul, and gayam. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three clearly. So for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. So for these devotees, the Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal. In other words, only devotees and others, not others, can understand the Gita and derive the desired result. Alright, thus ends Gayam, the section on Gayam. Some questions? 18.
Yeah. Something very easily misinterpreted.
Could be misinterpreted.
That the Lord is light and then he's unmanifest, and then when he comes near, then he assumes a form.
That the Lord is light and unmanifest, and when he comes to the earth, then he assumes a form. Can we refute it? Well, it doesn't say that he is, when he comes to this world, he manifests form in this verse. It just says that he's the source of light in any light that you see in this world. Yeah. So, it doesn't say he's formless, it just says that he's the source of all light. And he's beyond the darkness of this world. It's a very broad statement, and you can't extract, the statement that you, it's just an extraneous extrapolation.
What does he mean by the unmanifested?
What does he mean by the unmanifested? It means that he's not manifest to us, to our eyes. And it's before it said he's vigyayam, he's unknowable. But only my devotees, he's manifest and knowable. For those who perform devotion. Krishna refers to the Lord in the third person, but he's talking about the super soul. Only my devotees can understand the Lord, the Super Soul. Text 18, then it becomes very clear. Then he's talking about the Super Soul. Because he said he's situated in everyone's heart. So there's a difference. Yeah, I mean, if we just look at the, you know, just superficially, we just kind of breeze over it as a conversation. It could seem like that. That's why you need commentary to explain. Of course, the super soul is also subordinate to Krishna. But Prabhupada and the other commentators, they all say the same thing. Krishna is referring to the jiva. Because the jiva is also a gyanam, or object of knowledge. Especially for the jnanis. That's their process of self-realization. But there's God-realization also. The super self. And this is higher. Now you understand this, that you're not this body, you're a soul. That's good. And that is the goal of the jnanis. But higher, there's more. There's Paramatma. And then again, there's Bhagavan. So we have to depend upon the explanations of the commentators. Otherwise, we could speculate so many things from the conversation. They're one and different. And that Krishna is the super soul also. As he says in the 18th chapter, I'm referring to the Lord as if in third person, but you already know that I am that super soul, as Krishna mentions in chapter 6 and other places. So he can also say that this Lord is the source of all light, of all luminous objects. I mean, ultimately, he's the supreme personality of Godhead, but Narayan, or you know, is also giving light to Brahmajyoti, and he's an expansion of Sankarshan, and anyway, so many expansions, and then the Purusha avatars are also that same person expanded again. In that way, it's mentioned. And the jiva is as bright as 10,000 suns. So what to speak of the Lord, the super soul. And since he's a manifestation or expansion of Krishna, it can be said he is that source. So. Siddharam, you have a question? The Lord is unmanifested in his translation of text 18, but there's no Sanskrit word which is meaning unmanifest. So that means that why that is generally it means that the certain context of the words, tamasam param uchite, means he's beyond the darkness of this world. That means he's beyond, he's higher. That means he's unmanifest. Although he's the source of light, he's above all of the darkness in this world. Although all the light is coming from him, we cannot see him. He's unmanifest to us. So it's generally, it means that the previous commentators have stated that tamasam param means that he's unmanifest, so he puts it in the translation. Generally, this is what happens. So, when it's talking about the jiva, it means no beginning. So the jiva doesn't have a beginning. He's eternal. Talking about him coming into the material world. But the jiva is always eternal. He has no beginning. Even though he manifests from Krishna, but there's no point in time when that happens. It's an eternal situation. If it's the Brahman, that means Brahman is Gayam. That's the object of knowledge. And we don't accept that. Brahman is just a manifestation of the object of knowledge, which is the Lord. Yeah, for self, those who are seeking self-realization. Yeah. I guess you could say, yeah, for those jnanis, Brahman is the source of, you know, the object of their knowledge. But for those trying to go beyond, they understand the super soul. But it's not so. It could be, but it's not. So why should we toy with it? No. But the pots and the moon or the sun, the sun's reflecting in all of the water pots. So that means that the sun is all pervading in all of the different water pots. It's localized within each pot. But the sunshine is just spread everywhere. So it's all pervading in these two different ways. Brahman is just this energy, sarvam kalvidam brahma, everything is Brahman, everything is spirit. But the super soul is also all pervading, because not only is he within everyone's heart, but he's also within the atom. In the material world, he's also all pervading. But Brahman is all-pervading even beyond that. It's all-pervading. There's no super soul in the Brahma Jyoti or in the spiritual world. But in the material world, there's this super soul. So here he's all-pervading. He's localized within the jiva. He manifests because of the jiva. So there's a different function, and therefore there's a different type of all-pervadingness. Adam, there's the effulgence of the super soul. Of the absolute truth. That you can understand. Vedanti tat tat va vidas tat vam yajnanam advayam. So it's not the complete understanding of the absolute truth, Paramatma. And he doesn't have eternal form and existence or manifestation in the spiritual world. But because the material world is also endless, then he's endlessly and manifested here. Well, but we still understand it because it's the effulgence of his body and it's not the real shelter of a living entity. It is considered subordinate or lower than Paramatma realization. Because in Paramatma realization we have the chit feature of knowledge, whereas in Brahman you have only the sat feature. Even though the super soul is not manifested in the spiritual world, but the real super soul is Krishna, the original super soul. So in the spiritual world, Narayan and Krishna and their different planets, they are performing. The super soul's function is no longer necessary. So the Lord is there in his full Ananda Bhagavan feature. So it's still understood to be superior to Brahma because of this. A knower can only be a conscious being. So there's two conscious beings. And they just happen to be the object of knowledge. Right? The super soul already knows all fields, and he knows himself and all living entities. So he's omniscient. So he's already there. And the living entity is either in a conditioned or in a liberated state. So when he's coming to the process of knowledge, he's trying to understand himself. Super soul already understands the jiva. But the jiva doesn't understand himself. So he understands himself, and then he understands his super soul, or the oversoul, the paramatma. Right? So in this way, there's two knowers, and there's two objects of knowledge simultaneously. I think we have to stop now, because it's time for Aarti. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki.